in part two. Last week in part one, we talked about being excellent in preparation. And if you haven't heard that message, I want to invite you, go ahead in the playlist on YouTube or on Facebook, where you are, wherever you're watching, you can watch that over again and get those nuggets, because each week builds upon the other. So we talk about being excellent in preparation. That's the new normal. We're not just throwing things together, and we're not just acting all willy-nilly and not having any intentionality behind what we do. We are going forward laser focused on what God wants us to do, but it's so that when we prepare, it's not so that we can get everything our way and done according to the plan we think will happen, but we give ourselves the opportunity that no matter what curveball life throws, we're able to be agile and ready and open to embrace every opportunity that comes our way. Well, that was part one. Part two, I'm going to let you guys know right off the bat, we're going to get right into it today. The second place that we want to expect new norms is in the areas of our relationships. So part two, we're going to simply talk about quality relationships. Someone in the comments type in, I expect quality relationships. Come on, go ahead and type that. Say, I expect quality relationships. See, as we are, as a ministry, celebrating 4 years of God's goodness, and I want to just again, I can't say it enough of how awesome it is to be able to do life with you all. But as we're celebrating this ministry, the next facet is going to be a return to true community. And when we're returning to true community, there is an aspect that arises whenever people get together, and that's called conflict. No matter what the relationship is, no matter where people are from, no matter what's going on, whenever you have two different people in close proximity with each other, there is the opportunity for conflict to arise. And it's not something that we want to get thrown off by, but it's something that if we have the right tools, we can steward to help bring about better relationships. My heart's desire is that as a community, we model what it means to have quality relationships, authentic relationships. And in order to do that, there are some things that we're going to have to allow to be on the wayside. And there are some things that we're going to have to pick up and begin to practice so that they can become everyday patterns of behavior for us. And so in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 31, I want to start off by looking at this scripture in the New Living Translation, which shows us what is currently socially acceptable and normal. And Paul is saying that there are some things that I want you to exchange for what's culturally acceptable so that you can now do what's acceptable by kingdom standards. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. So when it comes to our relationships in life, there are behaviors that we naturally do. Now, based off the fact that we were all born into a sin nature, no one needed to teach us how to do wrong. That was something that we naturally did. Well, in relationships, unless we begin to exchange behaviors, begin to exchange paradigms, begin to exchange mindsets, and set new expectations, set new standards, we'll default to the old mechanisms and the old behaviors. And so Paul is admonishing us that there are certain things that we need to examine from within to root out. And then there are behaviors that we need to now place in, because ultimately the goal is we are going to walk in quality relationships. I believe you are going to walk and have quality relationships, whether it be relationships at home, whether it be relationships with friends, or Lord have mercy, relationships with family, extended family. I mean, the responsibility of those who name the name of Jesus Christ is to be an example and a reflection of him in this earth. And the way that we do that is how we treat one another. So instead of being bitter, instead of having rage, instead of having anger, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior, Paul says, instead, set this expectation that we are to be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. In fact, we are actually called to this particular ministry. There was a theologian by the name of Henry Nouwen who once said that there are two ministries that we need to be proficient in. And we're going to talk about the first one today, and the second one on next week. The first ministry that we need to be proficient in is called the ministry of presence, the ministry of being present with people. But he also says that we also need to have the ministry of absence. And so what you're going to see here, that as we introduce the new norm for quality relationships, we're also going to show you how to, on the next time we get together, how to replenish so that you don't go through what's called compassion fatigue. What I am learning is that it's actually a lot easier to abstain from something altogether than it is to regulate our limits in something that we're supposed to have. Come on, hear me when I say it's sometimes easier to abstain from something altogether. And so what you notice is that when people get burnt out, they completely withdraw. They completely pull back. They completely drop off the face of the earth, just completely disappear. And sometimes that is necessary. But the greater thing and the more sustainable pattern for quality relationships is knowing that how to be present, but then how to have the ministry of absence, where I am selective in when I withdraw based off of what I need to refuel and refill my tank. We'll get to that part on next week. But today, let's talk about this ministry of presence. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 17 and verse 18. So we are in fact called to a ministry of presence, which ultimately calls us to a ministry of reconciling or bridging the gap or making up the difference. That is what we're called to do. I understand sometimes it's tough being the bigger person. Sometimes it's tough having to always stay in character. There are times, come on now, let me know in the comments if you are like me, where there are some times that you just want to get out of character just for about 11 minutes, just 5 minutes, just give me 5 minutes to just be, put on my whole y'all know what suit and let me act how I want to act. That's all of us. That's natural. But we have a calling, and wherever there's a calling, there's a grace. So you have a grace to be a reconciler. And why is that? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Well, why is this? Verse 18 tells us the basis or the reason as to why we've been called as reconcilers. It says, and all of this is a gift from God. So this life that we live now, this ability to communicate to the creator of the universe. Come on, we go above the universe. We talk to the creator of the universe, the ability to do that, the ability to petition the throne of God, the ability to walk in his grace, the ability to walk in his favor is all a gift from God, meaning we did not deserve any of this good behavior because it was God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has now given us the task of reconciling people to him. And so this is a fundamental mindset that I want you to have, is that the relationship, the most important relationship that we're to have quality in, is in our one-on-one time with God. You know, in these last couple of weeks, since my son has been born, it's been giving me a revelation of who God desires to be in our life. And I look at my son, who can't articulate really any words. I mean, he has demands, he has needs. There are things that, you know, we have to do to take care of him on a daily, almost hourly basis. But one thing I notice is that my son doesn't have to do anything to earn my love. In fact, my son doesn't have to do anything to be my son. He was born into my family. And my mind goes to ways in which I can enrich his life. My mind goes to ways in which when he's of age, there are certain things that I want to release to him. But watch this. My son has not at one time ever asked for any of those things. And if I'm natural, if I am a carnal person, how much more our Heavenly Father toward us? And so what Paul wanted to do, he wanted to show you the quality first of God's love toward you. You know, we don't have to be grown up in the presence of God. We can literally be his child. And if all of us can develop in our faith to be that of a child and simply says, I'm not bigger than my Heavenly Father, but I'm here to receive from my Heavenly Father, then God can begin to reveal to you his love And in revealing his love to you, revealing his care to you, revealing his consistency and his faithfulness to you, it then will help become a guiding light in how you're to deal with other people. And so that is why God has given us a task of reconciling people back to him. Some of the toughest people in your life are the exact people that God wants your life to be a beacon of light, pointing them back to the right way to Jesus Christ. And many times, it won't be because you preached the right sermon, and it won't be because you said all the right things. It's how you lived and how you responded. In fact, God has called us to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. And so there are going to be moments and times where you got to have tough conversations, that you have to be honest, that you just can't lie, because if you're lying to yourself, the damage that you're going to do to somebody else is far greater. So you've got to be true to you, knowing that God accepts you. He loves you when you were in your old way and in your sin, he loved you. And if that was the basis in which he showed you his greatest act of benevolence, he then says, the same way in which I love, which we go back to Ephesians 4:32, the same way which I've forgiven you, I want you now to do that toward others. You see, a person who understands this relationship first that they have because of what God has done in their life is a person who lives from a place of power and a place of peace. Not because you're from a place of power because of your own might, but because it's what God has vested to you, and therefore causes you to live in a place of peace. But it requires us to grow in self-awareness. We've got to be aware as to what's going on within us. And I love what David wrote in Psalm 26. He says, put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. And this is why he says, for I am always aware of your unfailing love. I want to give you a secret right here. Here's a cheat code. Stay focused on how much God loves you. And I know sometimes in the relationships that we have with others, or the relationships that we've had even with religious individuals, can sometimes shape how we believe that God treats us. But we're seeing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that in your worst, God wanted to be his best to you. We're seeing in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, that he wants to be good because of a gift that he wants to give. And if that's the case, whatever's going on within us, we say, God, I open up my heart to you. So the first step to quality relationships is first being open and honest and authentic with God. Where are you at? When man fell in the garden, that was the first question. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? I want to ask you today, where are you in relation to what God wants to do? Are you running from what God desires to do in your life? Are you running from what he's asking you? Are you running from a conversation that you need to have? Where are you? But in the proof that we're growing in self-awareness is demonstrated in our ability to self-regulate. And I want to give you some questions that will help you in growing in this space. Because if we want quality relationships with others, we have to first have a quality relationship not only with God, but also with ourselves. The first thing I want you to ask whenever things happen and you find yourself upset, I want you to ask, what's going on within me? You know, anger is a secondary emotion. So the real question is, what fear has been triggered? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of being left out? Am I afraid of not having what I need? Am I afraid that I'm inadequate? What is going on within you? Another way that you can grow in self-awareness and in self-regulation is ask, especially when you notice that your response is not the most proper response at the time. And listen, it's okay. From time to time, we all go there. But I want you to then examine your response and ask, where did my response come from? Where did my response come from? Here's the big one, especially in moments where we feel like we've overreacted. I want you to ask yourself, am I reacting to what is taking place, or is it something else? Again, the three questions: what's going on within me? Where did my response come from? And am I acting or reacting to what is taking place, or is it something else? Let me give you these few pointers as we close today to have quality relationships with God, with ourselves, and with others. When something happens that completely knocks you off guard and you've been blindsided, I want you to first take a moment to process. And whether that's having a journal, some of us need to get back to writing in our journal and getting those thoughts and those feelings out of our head and onto paper or onto our electronic tablet, whatever helps you, painting, etc. Take a moment to process. But the next thing that I want you to do is I want you to take an inventory or acknowledge how you are feeling and how the situation made you feel. So when you're caught off guard, I want you to acknowledge that. Don't deny how you're feeling. Take an inventory, acknowledge how you're feeling and how a situation made you feel. And when you've acknowledged how you're feeling and how the situation made you feel, I want you then to take ownership for those feelings, because no one else can make you feel any type of way. Go ahead and type that in the comments. No one else can make me feel some type of way. No one else can make me feel some type of way. So I want you to take ownership and do not shift blame. Say, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. And then I want you finally to ask for wisdom on what the next step is. What is my next step? God, what would you have me to do? And take a moment to really process and to really go through that. And then finally, when things happen that are completely out of left field and they catch you off guard, I want you to walk in forgiveness, whether it's toward God, whether it's forgiving yourself, or whether it's forgiving the person that has wronged you. By taking these moments and exercising in these principles that I'm giving, you're saying that I can't control what other people do. I can't control the variables of life, but what I can control are my responses to what is happening in life. And when we grow in how we respond to life, to people, to others, that is when first we'll notice change within, but we'll begin to see the health of the relationships around us go to the next level. Amen. Can I pray with you today? When we're talking about having quality relationships, sometimes we have had relationships that have been so lack of quality that it's hard to even fathom. It's hard to even think that this is actually possible for me to walk in. But I want to give you a marker that yes, it is possible, but the change to better relationships starts within you, and it starts today. And if that's you and you're watching or you're listening and you desire the quality of your relationships in life, whether it's the relationship with your spouse, the relationship with your special friend, the relationship with your situationship, whatever it is, the relationship with your children to improve, will you allow me to pray with you? Because ultimately, we're called to be reconcilers. We're called to be people who bridge the gap from the two sides that may be polar opposites. We're called to love others the way that God has loved us. And if you would allow me, I'd love to pray for you today. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are so wonderful. You are so awesome. No, this new norm is not an easy norm, but it's a necessary norm. And I'm praying for those who are desiring better quality relationships. May they first receive your love that you have for them. And as they receive your love, Lord, help them to grow in awareness as to what is going on within them. Father, as they're seeking wisdom on what the next step should be, lead them, guide them, give them peace. Let them know what is supposed to be done. Let them know what's not supposed to be done. But Lord, just in every relationship, you uniquely hold us by the hand and you walk with us and you talk with us in a way that registers, in a way that we learn and grow from it. So I thank you for that, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, if you pray with me, I'd love to know. I'm standing right here by my phone right now. I'd love to see, like, hey, I prayed with you. And I respond directly to the text and just see how I could pray with you during this week. You can text, I prayed with you to 770-667-4899. Again, that's 770-667-4899. All right, that's part two. So we've talked about the new norm for excellent preparation. We've talked about part two of the new norm of quality relationships. What is the next new norm that we're going to walk in? We'll talk about that next week. Before we go, I would love to extend this opportunity for you to sow into the Outlet Community Church. I want to thank you, Outlet, and our partners, our members, our supporters, for your faithful generosity in sowing your financial gifts into the Outlet. You're allowing us to continue to spread this gospel, not only in the immediate community that we're in, but you're also allowing this message to go to the expanse of the globe. And I thank God for you daily. There's some information that's coming up on screen as to how you can give, whether it's by Zelle, whether it's online, or if you want to mail in your offering envelope, you can do so as well. And again, I always want to thank those who are continually, faithfully sending in their offering by mail, and just every person that is offering up out of worship, their free will, tithes and offering. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And so I want to invite you back on next week. We're going to have online service again on May 29th. It's going to be Memorial Day weekend. Again, I'm wanting to give our core team that's set up and tear down every week an opportunity to rest. I'm coming in with our media team to get out with you and to share the word of God with you. So I have my time off now. I'm returning the favor and ministering to you the way in which you all minister to my family and the families of others so often. We're going to be online again May 29th, and we will return both online and in person on the first Sunday of June, which is going to be our graduation Sunday. Looking forward to it. There's some more information inside of our sermon notes where you can vote on the topics that you want to hear in our sermon series called You Asked For It. It's our way of saying, hey, listen, let us know what you want to hear, and we're going to minister it to you every single week. Until next time, on behalf of my wife and I, our son, the big man Asher, and just all of us, we love you dearly and can't wait to see you next time here at The Outlet.